Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. We're in chapter 12. We invite you to open your Bibles to verse 39, where John writes, "Therefore they could not believe, for Isaiah again said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and turn for me to heal them." And in verse 41, John writes, "Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him." John here is telling us that Isaiah was given insight into the coming glory of Jesus Christ. There is here a confirmation of Jesus as God. The quotation in verse 40 of this chapter is from Isaiah 6, where the prophet had a vision of God's glory, high and lifted up, sitting upon a throne with the seraphim, proclaiming this, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." When John writes in verse 41 that Isaiah said this because he saw His glory and spoke of Him, he is equating Jesus Christ to the God that Isaiah saw in his vision, the God whose name is Yahweh in the Old Testament. John interprets for us as being none other than Jesus, the Son of God. He does here what the writer of Hebrews does in chapter 1, where he writes, "But of the Son, he says, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever." Think of it. Here he is quoting Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7, and he says, this is talking about Jesus. He says, "But of the Son, He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." The writer of Hebrews looked at Jesus as God. Now, this brings up the question, is Jesus God the Son? Is He really deity, or is He merely a man? The Scriptures declare Him to be God. He's divine. And John believed it, and so did the writer of Hebrews believe it. And these two passages in John chapter 12 affirm this. Now, in verse 41, we have an interesting pronoun. John writes, "Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him." The "he" refers to Isaiah. John recognized him as a person, not just as a book, telling us that Isaiah, the man, saw and spoke. Most seminaries today do not believe that there was a single Isaiah. That may come as a shock to you. Listen to Stephen L. Harris express the commonly held view of mainline seminary scholars in his book entitled Understanding the Bible. "The book of Isaiah," he said, "is not a single unified work, however, but an anthology of many prophetic oracles produced over many years." Scholars who have analyzed Isaiah's 66 chapters have generally agreed that the book can be divided into at least three distinct parts, each portion representing a different time period and written by a different author. End the quote. What does that tell us? The scholars believe that there are three Isaiahs, not one. Now, this is extremely important, since we have come to a passage that deals with it and which disagrees with the scholarly view. You may have read a commentary or heard a speaker refer to a second Isaiah. That used to be the view, that there were two Isaiahs. Now they are telling us that there are three, and some scholars say there could be as many as four. Well, if you have heard that, you know that those speakers or writers are in line with this view which insists on the multiple authorship of Isaiah. And those men disagree with the New Testament writers who spoke of only one Isaiah. Now, I want to spend a few minutes on this. It will be an apologetic for the Scriptures, because I think it's extremely important. You will encounter this theory, and you need to know how to answer it from the Bible. First of all, look at what they have decided. They say that chapters 1 through 39 were written by Isaiah of Jerusalem, all except chapters 24 through 27, chapters 33 through 35, and 36 through 39. That leaves out quite a bit. And who wrote those? Well, they say the fourth Isaiah wrote those. And then they say, generally speaking, that chapters 40 through 55 were written by someone, they don't know who, so they call him the second Isaiah. And finally, chapters 56 through 66 were written by another unknown character or a poet, and they call him the third Isaiah. Among the reasons for their views are these. There are differences in style, vocabulary, and theological perspective, along with the fact that the book of Isaiah seems to deal with conditions long after Isaiah's death. And how could Isaiah have known anything about those coming days, since no man, they believe, can foretell such events in the future? There must have been additional authors who wrote those things. Scholars cannot bring themselves to believe that God has revealed the future through prophets. So they also reject the claim of a man like Daniel, who wrote in the 6th century B.C. As you read the book of Daniel, you will see that he was there when Nebuchadnezzar was alive. So they have assigned, because they can't believe that Daniel could have predicted the things that came to pass in the centuries that followed him, they have assigned a date to the book of Daniel to 167 to 164 B.C. instead of the historical context of the book of Daniel, which is the 6th century B.C. By assigning a later date, that is about 167 B.C., they are not forced to believe in the remarkable prophecies of Daniel. They simply assign them to someone else who wrote afterward, after the prophecies were fulfilled. Now, how should I and you respond to what the scholars are teaching today, in which almost all theological books uphold? That is, this view of many Isaiahs. Of how many Isaiahs did John the Apostle speak? Only one. That's in verse 41 of John chapter 12. Yet notice what he has just done. He has quoted from two passages, two sections of Isaiah, one of which the scholars say was written by the second Isaiah. For example, in John chapter 12, verse 38, he quoted from Isaiah 53, and that is the so-called second Isaiah manuscript. But in verse 39 of John chapter 12, John writes that Isaiah again said. That's the same Isaiah who wrote the previous verse in chapter 53. Isaiah again said what is found in John 12:40. It's a quotation taken from 1 Isaiah, or Isaiah chapter 6. Now, friends, if John knew that there were two Isaiahs, he is deceiving us into believing that the same one who wrote the second part also wrote the first part. That's how he writes. Now, the question is, was John inspired by the Spirit? Are these words in the Scriptures inspired by God, or are they the opinion of John, who didn't know who the author was? You see, your entire view of Scripture is at stake here. You either go with what the scholars and their literary analysis tells them, or you go with the inspired writers and the accepted text. So the entire faith of the Christian is at stake. Is the Bible true and trustworthy? If the scholars are right, then the Bible cannot be trusted. And if the Bible is right, then the scholars are fooling with nonsense. That's the way the world of scholarship is. Now, what did the Apostle Paul believe about Isaiah? Fortunately, he quotes from that book. Let me show you several passages. I think that this will be instructive. First of all, the part we just looked at is this. John 12:38, it's from Isaiah 53, and verse 39 of John 12 is from Isaiah 6. And John said they were both written by one Isaiah. Now let's look at what Paul has given us in the book of Romans. Paul writes in Romans 9:27, and he quotes Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Then in Romans chapter 10, verse 16, Paul quotes from Isaiah 53, 1, Lord, who has believed our report? That comes from the scholar's second Isaiah. Then Paul quotes in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 20, the so-called third Isaiah manuscript, for he quotes from Isaiah 65, verse 1. But each time he said, Isaiah wrote it, or Isaiah said it. Now this is pretty strong evidence here for what Paul believed. What I need to ask now is, did he know what he was talking about? Can you trust Paul? If a scholar believed the words written by John and by Paul, if he believed those words were inspired by the Spirit, he would be satisfied with the single Isaiah testimony of these writers. And if you believe the Scriptures are inspired, you also will be satisfied with what the writers have said, and you will, of necessity, reject the two or the three Isaiah theory. Historic evidence and the inspired Word of God is stronger than literary analysis. Now we move on in our study to John chapter 12, verse 42, which reads, Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. This passage tells us that Jesus was having some success. Many, it says, of the Pharisees believed in him, but they wouldn't confess it. They wouldn't confess it because they had some fears. People today do not confess Christ for another reason. They don't know enough about the Christian faith. Well, you can learn quite a bit about the Christian faith by listening to our cassette tapes on Understanding the New Testament. They were prepared for that reason because we know many people are confused. They don't understand the difference between the old and the new, between grace and law. Most people today think that Christians are supposed to live by the Old Testament law. That's a tragedy, but understanding the New Testament will clarify that. You can get information about this course and other teaching tapes by writing to the Radio Bible Course. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calabota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.